From the Arts Center in downtown Carrboro, this is Claudio Speakeasy and Radio Theater, a program that has fascinating guests, lively talk and conversation, community news, storytelling, and a look at our local entertainment scene. Good radio and always a few surprises. Now here's Claudio.
Good morning and thank you for tuning us in from wherever that is, local or worldwide. Morning to the Big Chill and Carrboro. Got a really special show coming up this morning. I'm going to be introducing composer Stephen Grove, who just finished writing the soundtrack for the movie No Child, taken from No Child Left Behind, in which I portray Ernest Hemingway. So we're going to have him on. I'm going to say good morning, Stephen.
Good morning.
That's the man. We're going to hear a lot more from him after we get my friend Bob Crowley here. He's going to catch us up on some tidbits of what today is and things worth knowing for the early part of the sketch. And right after that, we're going to go into some of Stephen's music, and then the rest of the hour is going to be dedicated to getting into his head. Over to you, Bob.
Okay. Well, I've got a few interesting things. And actually, I want to start this morning with something we don't always do, and that's one piece of hard news that's worth listening to. This is a news story from Alaska, where yesterday, I understand, a TV news anchor by the name of Charlo Green quit on live TV with an, let's say, expletive deleted that she said there, because she said, "I'm tired of this, I'm out of here, and I'm going to go work for the legalization of marijuana in Alaska. So watch out, Sarah, she's coming for you."
You go, Cheech and Chong.
Yeah, so that's kind of good. And, of course, today is a very special day. Today is Dogs in Politics Day. And this is to celebrate the anniversary of Richard Nixon's Checkers speech, where he talked about the little dog that he was given and that his little daughter had fallen in love with it. And so he was going to give back all of the gifts that he'd gotten on during the campaign. But the dog, we're going to keep it, he said. So that was it. And, of course, we have, Roosevelt had Falla, and he did a wonderful speech on him. And it's also the first day of autumn. We said goodbye to summer early this morning, and autumn is upon us. And actually, that's an ancient word. It goes back to the Etruscans in northern Italy, and the Romans borrowed it and pulled it over. And, of course, it's also called fall, which seems to derive from the Old Norse word fall, meaning to drop from a great height. And there's all kinds of other legends about it, but that's about it. Now, the Apex Arts Council, which I got to plug, that's the way it's about.
Since he is Mr. President of that place.
That's it. Well, we've got some interesting things coming up. We have a new exhibit we're going to be opening in Apex on the 3rd of October. That's a Friday evening. We have a new business in Apex. It's the Apex Scooter Store, and they will be hosting for quite a while a rotating exhibit of what the owner there calls two-wheeled art. This is artwork showing bicycles, motorcycles, scooters, whatever. But that's going to be kind of interesting. If you want to come, everybody's welcome. 6 to 9 p.m., the Scooter Store in Apex. So you can do that. Just Google them out, and you'll find that out. And then we also have the Three Rivers Arts Festival coming up, 18-19 October, out just south of Pittsburgh. And you can go to www.threeriversartsfestival.net.
Actually got Beth Bale, who runs that, coming on next week. So the next show will explain what that's all about as well.
Yeah, but if you want to get a little advanced, go to that website. And let's see here. We have Claudio mentioned our composer here, and that's to celebrate. And you got quite an ovation on the opening, didn't you, sir? From what I understand, everybody loved your performance in the movie and everything when they opened it
up. You better tell people what you're talking about.
Well, I'm talking about the movie No Child, that you were just in portraying Ernest Hemingway. They had the premiere at College of the Living Arts.
That's right.
And I understand that there wasn't a dry eye in the house when you came on.
I wasn't aware of that.
Well, maybe I'm exaggerating a little bit, but I wanted to give you a little praise.
It was
for
a great way to meet the guest we're having on today, that's
yes.
For sure. The composer.
And on that note, I will stay quiet.
Oh, you mean you've covered it all?
Covered it all.
Well, heck, I guess you can turn off his mic then, Rocco. I'm going to go into a composition by Stephen Grove before I introduce the man, just to show you the wonderful aspect of his work. It was really beautiful in the film No Child. Really, really held up everyone's performance. I was particularly grateful with what he did for the Hemingway monologue. And we'll get into that some more. But here's Stephen Grove, one of his compositions. Is there a title to this?
This one's called There's Always Hope.
There's Always Hope. Good title.
Look around you. One in four kids in the U.S. faces hunger. It's not always easy to see the signs, but in this land of plenty, there are kids who don't know where they'll get their next meal. Join Share Our Strength and take the pledge to end childhood hunger here in America by 2015. Learn how at nokidhungry.org. Their next meal could come from you.
Now there's Chapel Hill Carrboro Community Radio for the news you need and the music you love. And Claudio Speakeasy and Radio Theater. Now back to Claudio.
And here we are again. Stephen, that was beautiful music, man.
Thank you.
I was immediately drawn to you when you know, I'm sitting in the theater watching a movie I'm in and then hearing this sweeping soundtrack. It was gorgeous. What inspired this particular piece?
This piece was inspired after watching BBC Planet Earth. And I was just inspired by the beauty of nature. And despite how dark times can be sometimes, you just can look to nature and all of its wonder and beauty. And when I had some free time, which I have little of now, I sat down and wrote that piece.
That's gorgeous.
Thank you.
That entire collection. I know exactly what you're talking about. Beautiful work.
Stephen, I'd like to ask you, how long did it take you to write that piece of music?
My work was a little slower then, so maybe about a week. Yeah.
Slower, I'd say. You could have easily said a month. I'd have been impressed.
I am impressed, Claudio and Steve.
Yeah.
And Bob. Terrific.
Oh, yeah. I'm a fan already, and that's the only piece I've heard so far.
Right. Wait till the rest of it. So let's get into your head a little bit. I know you're set up in Raleigh. You have your own recording studio, so I'm looking forward to doing some collaborations. But why don't you pick up the story from how we met at you gave me a very inspiring meeting there at College of the Living Arts when we did the screening last Friday of No Child, which is a title taken from No Child Left Behind, in which I do a cameo performance as Ernest Hemingway. And they actually spliced my monologue into three different segments of the film, and it ended with me closing it as Hemingway, which I was really touched by. But you take it.
Yeah, sure. Well, anytime I get a movie, I watch the movie several times and try to find spots that I feel like the arc is portrayed well, or something that I can gain inspiration from. And when watching that film, I was really moved by your portrayal of Hemingway.
Thank you.
there's a scene that actually is in the end of the film where you're talking to the main character Will, and when I initially sat down, I composed to that first, and I think that all of the musical ideas kind of grew out from that spot.
That was the germ, so to speak.
So when I met you,
very honored.
When I met you at the premiere, I knew you, but you didn't know me.
Right.
So I said, I've seen you a thousand times, but you don't know me. But my name is Stephen. I'm very happy to meet you, and you inspired me to write this music. So.
Yeah. Incredible. Thank you so much.
Oh, you're welcome. Thank you.
That's a great gift. I mean, it's like having a hug to carry around with you. Yeah. Thank you. And then, you know, realizing how beautiful your work is.
Oh, thanks.
Give us some of your influences, and let's take a little journey on the music of Stephen Grove.
I think over the last few years, the film composers that I've been really moved by are guys like James Newton Howard mm-hmm. and John Williams, John Powell. So I've really been in the film world lately. But, I mean, before that, I was always kind of drawn to the longer style of compositions. So for rock stuff, it would have been like Pink Floyd. I like the idea of melodies and themes working in multiple pieces of music, so reoccurring themes and albums and stuff like that. And that kind of drew me to classical music, mm-hmm. so larger art form.
I was going to say that was something I noticed immediately, that you were definitely classically influenced, which is a good base to spring from.
Yeah, I probably spent about 4 years only listening to classical music.
Wow.
So, yeah.
What are some of your favorites there?
I think one of my favorites is Rimsky-Korsakov's Scheherazade.
Mm-hmm.
I like Gustav Mahler's Sixth Symphony, Brahms, all the greats, Beethoven, right. Bach, Mozart.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Josquin du Prez, going back into the Renaissance period. I just love music.
You can't go wrong when you've got that as a base, I'll tell you that.
Stephen, how do you like that impressionistic period? People like Debussy and, you know, that sort of visual type sound mm-hmm. that you can almost visualize the scene, the clouds.
I like it. I feel like I'm getting more into it.
Vaughan Williams.
Yeah, I like Vaughan Williams. He's a great, huge influence on John Williams, too.
Have you ever heard The Lark Ascending?
I haven't.
Oh, you need to listen to The Lark Ascending.
Okay.
And it's a violin piece, but it's that, you know, impressionistic mm-hmm. type music.
Yeah, I agree. I've heard that piece,
and that is very powerful.
Debussy meant a lot to me when I was in, especially when I was in Europe. For some reason, it seemed like everything I picked up had Debussy as part of it, or it was actually a Debussy album. So it was wonderful. Yeah. It was wonderful how he basically opened a lot of minds to classical music by what he did for it.
Mm-hmm.
His particular way of coming forth with it. I'm going to take a moment here and just sort of create the flavor of the day, so to speak. Mm-hmm. Bob Crowley, the historian, has selected a few quotes for me from Ernest Hemingway, and I thought I'd treat the audience to some of that, and then we'll continue with your life. This is back to Hemingway. Just quotes by him. The world breaks everyone, and afterward, some are strong at the broken places. Courage is grace under pressure. The best way to find out if you can trust somebody is to trust them. An intelligent man is sometimes forced to be drunk to spend time with fools. I like to listen. I have learned a great deal from listening, carefully. Most people never listen. There is nothing to writing. All you do is sit down at a typewriter and bleed. I love sleep. My life has the tendency to fall apart when I'm awake, you know. There is no lonelier man in death except the suicide. Than that man who has lived many years with a good wife and then outlived her. If two people love each other, there can be no happy end to it. Never think that war, no matter how necessary, nor how justified, is not a crime. Always do sober what you said you'd do drunk. That will teach you to keep your mouth shut.
Absolutely.
We had that one at the screening. There is no friend as loyal as a book. I couldn't agree more. Man is not made for defeat. Man can be destroyed, but not defeated. Never go on trips with anyone you do not love. That is an important thing. I usually went to find people to love. I went solo. The first panacea for a mismanaged nation is inflation of the currency. The second is war. Both bring a temporary prosperity. Both bring permanent ruin. But both are the refuge of political and economic opportunists. That's what we've got today, people. About morals, I know only that what is moral is what you feel good after, and what is immoral is what you feel bad after. It's putting it in simple terms. If a writer knows enough about what he is writing about, he may omit things that he knows. The dignity of movement of an iceberg is due to only 1/9 of it being above water. We are all apprentices in a craft where no one ever becomes a master. I learned never to empty the well of my writing, but always to stop when there was still something there in the deep part of the well, and let it refill at night for from the springs that fed it. The terrible mood of depression, of whether it's any good or not, is what is known as the artist's reward. There are events which are so great that if a writer has participated in them, his obligation to write truly rather than assume the presumption of altering them with invention. They wrote in the old days that it is a sweet thing and fitting to die for one's country. But in modern war, there is nothing sweet nor fitting in your dying. You will die like a dog for no good reason. I know war as few other men do, now living, know it. And nothing to me is more revolting. I have long advocated its complete abolition, as its very destructiveness on both friend and foe has rendered it useless as a method of settling international disputes. The shortest answer is doing the thing. I've tried to reduce profanity, but I reduced so much profanity when writing the book that I'm afraid not much could come out. Perhaps we will have to consider it simply as a profane book and hope that the next book will be less profane or perhaps more sacred. For a long time, I have tried simply to write the best I can. Sometimes I have good luck and write better than I can. I never had to choose a subject. My subject rather chose me. The good parts of any book may be only something a writer is lucky enough to overhear, or it may be the wreck of his whole damn life, and one is as good as the other. No weapon has ever settled a moral problem. It can impose a solution, but it cannot guarantee it to be a just one. When writing a novel, a writer should create living people. People, not characters. A character is a caricature. All good books have one thing in common. They are truer than if they had really happened. All stories, if continued far enough, end in death. And he is no true storyteller who would keep that from you. A man's got to take a lot of punishment to write a really funny book. It's none of their business that you have to learn how to write. Let them think you were born that way. Ezra Pound's crazy. All poets are. They have to be. You don't put a poet like Pound in the loony bin. Wars are caused by undefended wealth. For a war to be just, three conditions are necessary. Public authority, just cause, right motive. Bullfighting is the only art in which the artist is in danger of death and in which the degree of brilliance in the performance is left to the fighter's honor. And in closing, the one that has always haunted me as a writer. There is no lonelier man than the writer when he writes, except the suicide.
Amen.
And that was Hemingway. Hemingway quotes.
Beautiful.
Thank you. Let's bounce back to you. Yeah, it's amazing the wisdom that did pour forth from that man. And also, I think he's given a great gift to writers in general by his image alone. He has this man's man adventure, live what you write kind of image that he puts forth. And I think that in itself is an inspiration to many. I know I've had his picture above my writing table for years, not because I've read all of his books. I just like the image. He's sitting in a felt in Africa, leaning on a table. You can see the winds blowing, and he's writing a farewell to arms while on some safari. Anyway, Stephen, back to you. We're going to play another piece of music. I think it's number two. What's the title on that?
This one's called My Experiment is Working.
Okay. Thank you.
You're tuned to your community radio station, 103.5 FM, WCOMLP, Chapel Hill and Carrboro.
Now back to Claudio.
And what you just heard was a composition by Stephen Grove that is actually used in the picture in which I portray Hemingway, the film No Child, taken from No Child Left Behind. Back to you, Stephen. That was absolutely beautiful.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. That scene in particular was part of a montage where the character kind of decides to clean up his... Literally, he's cleaning up his car, but it's really cleaning up his life and
his
trying
life,
to do something
symbolically, yeah.
better. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of a turning point in the story. Great performance by Will Williams.
Absolutely.
And this piece in particular I wrote early on, and I guess I go through a period of doubt whenever I'm writing, to making wondering if the music is actually appropriate for the film. And it's not without the support of the team, in this case, director Rob Underhill, Will Williams himself.
So.
And I think Hannah Chapman helped with this one too, where we kind of, and Arvind Raghupathy, I got to mention him too.
Yes, of course. The cinematographer.
We usually review a few times, and it was actually through their support that I felt like I was going in the right direction. So it's great to have a great team.
Well, I'm sure Rob Underhill was keen on your music, because I know something about his musical taste, and I know that swept him away.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, he's great support. He guides me in the right direction and gives me good insight.
So. Good.
Rob has been on this show, Claudio's show, a number of times,
yeah.
and always brings a lot to the table. He really does.
It's sort of become a bit of a writer's workshop whenever he's cultivating an idea. We toss the bones around on the speakeasy.
Nice.
You have underscored quite a few films. Give us a rundown.
I have. Well, I've scored 8 films this year so far. So it was No Child was my most recent.
What have you done lately, right?
No Child was the most recent. I also did a film called Raise the Devil, which was directed by Zach Hines, starring T.J. Hoban and Josh Cruz. That was out of L.A.
Hmm.
And I did another film for Rob called This Was My Son. I did a film called Rock Story, directed by Dylan Banks, and produced that by Ken DelVecchio. I did a film called They Came from the Ether, which was directed by James Pronath and produced by James Pronath and Ryan Law. It had Linnea Quigley in it and Judith O'Day. Do you remember Night of the Living Dead?
Yes.
Judith O'Day.
Oh, really?
Yeah,
wow.
Also had Christopher Fisher, Paul Gibson, Brad Greer, and my lovely wife, Jillian Teetzel. She
of was course, and she is a spark. I wish you'd have brought her today. If you're listening, honey, you should have been here.
And I did Bragging East earlier, which I think you had met with the guys from Bragging
East. Yes, we did a show on that. That's
a great film, too. Those were the films I did so far this year.
So what do you do for an encore?
Yeah, right. well, tell us, give us your overall history. We may not limit you to this year.
Well, I've done film for about 3 years, I'd say. Mm-hmm. And before that, I was in bands. I toured with a band called Aerial Down. We did some AFE, Armed Forces Entertainment tours.
Oh, wow, okay.
So we toured through Japan and South America and all of South Korea. So been around the world
playing
music.
Pretty fascinating, yeah.
Yeah. What I like about film, though, is it's with rock band, you're kind of limited to that. Just the rock band style
audience
of music.
Demand, so to speak. Yeah.
Well, and that too, and just performance. Whereas with film, you never know what type of music you're going to be able to write. Sometimes it's a pop album type of score. Sometimes it's full orchestral stuff. Sometimes it's more atmospheric type of stuff. So I like the demands of film, and it's the variety that it brings to.
Well, what's your process, if I might ask, when you first get approached and then you become somewhat familiar with the story? Do you tend to become familiar with the whole story, or usually it's still in production, so you get bits and pieces, right?
Yeah, a little bit of both. I like to try to get a piece of music that I think speaks to the film first, and then kind of work from there. So that might be just through conversations with the directors or the producers, or seeing a great performance and writing around that, or just my own. Maybe it appeals to me emotionally.
Connected.
I can write, connect that way. Yeah, so it's all different ways.
And it's not something you could ever force. I'm sure inspiration just has to strike you. You sort of ingest it for a while and then see what it brings forth.
Yeah, like any artist, sometimes it comes in dreams. Sometimes it comes just hearing the way that your engine sounds whenever you're walking up to your car. In particular, a piece of music that came to my head whenever I was just getting out of my car one day. So you just
and
have
what
to
was
listen
that,
to.
What was that based on? What was the piece of music that you wrote? Was that for the film? Or
No, it's for a different film.
I got you. And what struck you about the car?
I think it was the rhythm that the engine was. Yeah.
It sort of gave you a sense of the musical.
Yep.
And you were able to make it fit for the project.
I was, yeah.
Yeah, because of course that's the frequency you were on anyway, so
yeah.
That's what you're playing toward. Give us the title of your next song.
The next piece is called A Mirror Reflects That Reflects Your Smile.
Good
and this
title.
Is the this is from No Child. This is from the ending scene.
This is from the scene in which Hemingway has the closing monologue, mm-hmm. right?
You're tuned to 103.5 FM, WCOMLP, Chapel Hill, Carrboro. Están escuchando a 103.FM, WCOMLP, Chapel Hill, Carrboro. Thanks for listening to our station.
You're listening to Claudio Speakeasy and Radio Theater right here on WCOM, the Triangle's premier innovative radio station. We broadcast something for everyone at 103.5 FM, community radio for Carrboro and Chapel Hill.
Just want to let our listeners know the show is being brought to you by the historic Carolina Theater of Durham, as well as the Apex Arts Council, and we have the president in the studio. I've got to tell you, Stephen Grove, whom I have here, the composer of that incredible musical score for the film No Child, I don't think you've listened to much John Barry, but it really reminds me of a John Barry musical sweep. That was an absolutely beautiful piece, and that really ends the film.
It does, yeah. It does. Thank you.
It's gorgeous.
It just sounds terrific. And as you know, Stephen, if you write a terrific musical score for a movie, it immortalizes the film, the music, the composer. People will be listening for years and years to the music that you've written.
Yeah.
Movies can do that.
They're going to be talking about you, boy.
It is. And I think that there's a way that you can approach film music where you're writing for the scene, and it might not necessarily be memorable outside of the film. But what I really try to do is make music for music as well as something that's supporting.
Now, I know what you're talking about because I've heard pieces that don't make any sense when you're not watching the film. But yours, no, that's like, it's almost like listening to beautiful classical music.
Well, thank you. I'm glad that came across.
So when are you going to try opera?
I like some opera. Yeah. Maybe in the future.
Well, that's good.
We can do a spoken Gilgamesh.
Yeah, we could.
I actually performed that with the North Carolina Symphony.
Is it the story of Gilgamesh?
It was the U.S. premiere. It was at Memorial Auditorium, and we had three different opera singers, one female, two males. We had 100-member Raleigh Oratorio Society behind me, and then, of course, the full orchestra, North Carolina Symphony. That is almost as many people on stage as we were playing for in the house, but it was a great piece of work. I actually have that recorded. I'll get you a copy.
Okay.
I actually know somebody who's working on a brand new ballet that's looking for a musical director. Mm-hmm. Would you like to try scoring a ballet?
I would. Yeah,
okay,
that'd be
great.
Okay,
let me see what... I'll have to talk to the author.
Okay.
That's me, but that's all right.
Stephen, what do you think was the greatest inspiration you had in composing the music that you write in your life, not just in the last year or two? Well, what was behind it?
That's a tough one. It changes, I think.
No doubt.
I mean, specifically with No Child, it's just good performances and having good acting performances and having strong people around you to support you, like the filmmakers like Rob Underhill, Arvin Ragapathy, Will Williams, and my beautiful wife, too. Having her on your side and is always a good thing.
Yeah, no doubt.
Yeah.
No doubt.
Well, I think you have a rare talent.
Oh, thank you so much.
And I've been listening to music for 70 years. Quite a while, and I've heard a lot, and listening to your music, it's powerful. It really
Thank
is.
You.
It's very the best way to describe it is as a very sweeping element for the characters in the story,
like Respighi, the Pines of Roman, and like I was saying, Vaughan Williams, The Lark Ascending. Mm-hmm. You have a quality that composers today they just don't seem to have.
Well, I think film music has its trends too, and I think we're just in a trend now where it's not as creative, but I mean you can only do your best and try to just listen to your own intuitions and do your best job.
Yeah,
that's what I strive to do.
And you have a great radio voice.
Oh, thank you.
Yes, you do.
You do.
That's the first thing I said to him when I met him.
It is.
I know.
Yes.
He sounds terrific on the radio.
Yeah, he does. It'd be good radio for you. So cue us into the next piece that we're going to play and give us the inspirations behind that.
Okay, the next piece is called This Was My Son, and it's a piece from, it's a short that Rob and I worked on, and it's basically Mammy Till, it's the Emmett Till story.
Right, okay.
It's Mammy Till just describing her son being brought back to Chicago and just what her description of how he looked and appeared. Oh, so it's very tragic, and that's what I was trying to portray in the music with this piece.
Composer Stephen Grove here at the Speakeasy. This is his music coming up. ¶¶
I'd like to tell you that your host Claudio is available as a poet with a one-man band for house concerts, performing original and traditional literary readings. Claudio is well known as a classical poet and a master storyteller. His website is claudioarts.com.
And I'm having a wonderful time here spending the morning with Stephen Grove. Your music is incredible, I've got to tell you. It has an amazing European flavor, of course, being a European, growing up around that incredible music. I just love the expanse of your work. You can imagine so many things. It's easy to imagine a ballet to that particular piece.
Oh, thanks.
And
yeah,
just the sweeping element. And I love the way I can definitely see the Mozart influence, the way you have these lingering notes coming in throughout. That's flawless. It's beautiful.
Thank you. Yeah, really, with that piece, it was just about tragedy, which is an emotion easily portrayed by me, strangely enough. But I really enjoyed working on that.
But at the same time, it was uplifting. It was I could see how it would fit a tragic scene.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, it holds you up, so it sort of carries you through it, which is beautiful, and which is our responsibility as artists.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So beautiful. Cue us in on the next piece, because I'd like to play some more of your music.
Sure.
There's one thing in communicating with you about your work, and then another in letting your work speak for itself.
Sure.
But before we do that, give the folks listening some contact information.
Okay, sure. You can listen to samples of my work at www.stephengrove.com. Stephen with a V, so StevenGrove.com. You can contact me through the website, or you can contact me directly at Stephen@StephenGrove.com. And there's some samples there, or some links to some additional works on SoundCloud.
And you can see his extensive body of work as well, which is amazing. So give us the cue on the next musical piece, and we'll continue playing you for the morning, because I'm sure we've got the folks out there hooked at this point.
The next piece is from a film I did early in this year. It's called They Came from the Ether, and this is the opening credits. Now, this, to give you a little story on this piece, this film was set in the style of a 50s sci-fi film.
Mm-hmm.
So it's in black and white, and it's kind of like a creature feature / sci-fi film.
Is this Rob Underhill now?
No, this was by James Pronath and Ryan Law. And so what I was trying to go for was that 50s sound. So you hear some theremin, I think we had talked about earlier.
Good, yes.
And you'll hear some 50s sci-fi sounds.
We've played
sounds.
Some theremin before as well.
of science is endlessly fascinating, and some of the world's most significant science is going on right here in the Triangle. This is Ernie Hood. Join me Wednesdays at 11 a.m. for Radio In Vivo, your link to the Triangle Science Community, right here on WCOM LPFM.
Your time is important. Take us along. We're WCOM, Chapel Hill, Carrboro. Now back to Claudio's Speakeasy and Radio Theater.
I want to give a quick shout out to my former co-host, Audrey Layden, whose birthday it is today. And she just recently got married to another host of radio here, Paul Nash. So congratulations on the wedding. Happy birthday, kid. Glad things are going so well.
They are part of the WCOM community and the WCOM family.
And I love them both.
We wish them the very best.
Absolutely. And also want to say a big happy birthday to WCOM. They celebrated their 10th birthday at Catherine Devine's house over the weekend. I couldn't make it because my work week begins on weekends. So sorry I wasn't there, but I was there in spirit. Kat, thank you for having it there. Happy birthday, WCOM. 10 years going strong. And we're back to composer Stephen Grove on Claudio Speakeasy and Radio Theater, brought to you by the Historic Carolina Theater of Durham, as well as the Apex Arts Council. Back to you, Stephen. I never fail to be impressed with your music.
Oh, thanks. I think that demonstrated the needs of a project and the different styles of music that might be applicable to the needs of the project.
Mm-hmm.
One, it was definitely some 50s sci-fi,
yeah,
some theremin. I really enjoyed working with the theremin and overall trying to achieve that 50s sci-fi sound.
No, you got it.
Oh, thanks.
You absolutely got it. Rocco was going, you need to go talk to Steven Spielberg.
I think you're going to meet him eventually.
I hope so.
Oh, yeah. Steve, if you're listening, call this guy.
We need to send him a copy of this show.
Just come on the Speakeasy. Oh, yeah. We'll take it from there.
Sure.
Send
yeah,
him a podcast.
Welcome here.
Absolutely.
Absolutely. So cue us into your next number and the inspiration behind it.
The next piece is from Bragonese, which was finished earlier this year. And he's still putting it out there, Robert Wagner, trying to get it to audience. And I think he's trying to expand it into a larger form.
He's actually left the police force at this point.
To go
strictly into not only this project, but I guess he's starting his own organization as far as helping the less fortunate.
And you've had him on the show, haven't you?
Yes. He was on the show about his movie. Because Rob Underhill also filmed that, or directed it.
What to expect. I didn't know it would be so hard. For me, it was easier to heal others than to heal myself.
If you or someone you know has a drug or alcohol problem, you are not alone.
Recovery was the hardest job I ever had, and the most important.
Good morning, Dr. Monroe.
Morning, Sarah. How are you today?
For information and treatment referral, call 1-800-662-HELP. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services.
103.5 FM. You're listening to WCOM.
And I think we're just going to continue on playing more of his music because we got about 5 minutes before we got to wrap things up anyway. So take us into the next one. We'll play it, and then we're probably going to be signing off.
Okay. We can jump into another one from Bragonese. How about at number 11? This one's called Within a Yard.
Within a Yard. What was it about this one?
This is a point where the characters, he walks into the church and he's just really feeling down and not sure about the direction he's going. And it's a pastor comes up to him and speaks to him and gets him right on the right track.
Moment
again.
Of reflection.
Exactly.
Wonderful.
If you want to hear special innovative programming, set your radio to 103.5 FM or listen online at wcomfm.org. We're community radio WCOM for Carrboro, Chapel Hill. Back to Claudio.
And we're here in the studio on the Speakeasy with musician, conductor, Stephen Grove, who has just finished doing the soundtrack for the film No Child, taken from No Child Left Behind, a Rob Underhill film. And we're going to have one more piece, one more soundtrack from that film before we sign off. What is this?
This piece is called You Passed the Reading Comprehension Test.
And what track will that be?
Number seven.
Number seven.
One more treat for the senses, and then we're signing off. Well, I got to tell you, it's been a real treat on Claudio Speakeasy in Radio Theater here, having Stephen Grove on with this incredible music. I mean, it's—I can't say enough about it. I love it. We've got to work together.
We should.
We've already got a good start, so maybe I have to figure out a longer version of Hemingway for you to back up on some solo performance. But anyway,
Sure. Thank
you so much for this incredible.
It's been a pleasure.
Music. Give us your contact information one more time.
My website's www.stephengrove.com. STEVEN. GROVE.com, and you can also just email me directly at stephen@stephengrove.com.
Stephen, it's been a pleasure meeting you
and
listening to your music.
Indeed.
I think you're terrific.
It's been a pleasure. Thanks for having me on the Speakeasy. Oh,
absolutely. I'm a big fan already.
Yeah, you're part of the family now, so you'll be on again. So
you
folks can expect
Looking forward to it.
Be back around. Thank you, Bob Crowley, for joining me. Thank you, Rocco, and a special thank you to Stephen Grove, the conductor whose music you've been listening to all, the conductor, composer, musician, songwriter as well. I think you sing as well, right?
I do.
We haven't heard any of that. So
try genius. That'll do it.
Right. There we go. Thank you for being on the Speakeasy. Thank you for tuning us in. This is Claudio signing off. Cheers.